Well, welcome again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and today we're going to, I'm glad that you join us. Today we're going to get back into our study of justification in the letter J, the second study in the letter J. Justification. Remember we, on the last recording that we did together, we talked mostly about the definition and what the scriptures, what God's word uses as far as justification. The word justify and just and justification are found in the scriptures. They are actual scriptural words. And justification is a doctrine in the word of God that's very important. It's part of your salvation is what we were mainly talking about, is that a lot of Christians today do not know any background having to do with their salvation. They get born again. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ by grace, by faith through grace. And they believe on him, and they get saved, and they're born again, and they're in the family of God. But they don't know what happened as far as and all of us don't really have it narrowed down to that we can explain it what happened. And the Lord said so. He compared it to the wind blowing, that it comes and you don't know where it comes from and you don't know where it goes. He said, that's the same way the Spirit is. And we don't. We don't know, none of us know the exact second that we were born into the that we were born into the family of God, that we were born again when the Holy Ghost came to indwell us. I remember the time and the place that I was at and what took place, but I do not know when the Lord actually came in and saved me. I just know that He did. I know the change. And I know that the change is there, and it's still there, and it's been there for 41 years, 42 years. And I know, and I've learned more and more and more, and the Lord's taught me more and more and more. And I begin to get understanding about what really went on and what the Lord done behind the scenes. And this is one thing that is part of your salvation that took place at the time of your salvation, when you were born again. It's called justification. The Lord justified you and made you, how can we put it? He let you off the hook, okay? And it was by the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of His shed blood that did it for you. And you exercised faith by believing God's word and doing what God said and calling upon His name. And He kept His promise, and He saved you, and you have been justified, and not only justified at the time that you got saved, but justified for eternity, and that's what's wonderful about it, and it's part of your salvation. We began talking about it on the last recording. We looked at the words justifier, justify, justification. We talked about being justified and read some scriptures there. And I hope you went back over those scriptures and just begin to look. It's interesting, isn't it, to know what God has done as far as being justified. I'm glad that I'm justified in the Lord's sight. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to make that payment for me, and that He was willing, and that He went through what He went through, and that He carried it out, and it was something that I could not do for myself. If the Lord hadn't have done what He done to justify us, to get us to where we could be justified in the eyes of the Father, and in the Father's courtroom, we would be in trouble. We'd be in trouble. Yes, we would, because no man or woman on this earth, no human being, could do it. There's no way we could have got to the Lord without the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll see some of that today, because we're going to get into another category of our study entitled The Negative Side of Justification. You say there's a negative side to justification? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. And the only reason that there's a negative side is because the Apostle Paul had to explain about this new salvation and the new covenant, because the law was big back in the first century, and that's what the Jews had, was the Old Testament, and everybody knew the law, but nobody knew anything about the new covenant. They didn't know anything about being born again and being saved by grace. They didn't know all that stuff, and only thing they knew was that the Lord said, "Thou shalt not," and that you better not die. And if you're not keeping the law and not having your sacrifices in order, and it was by the law and by the letter then. But when grace came along, and when the Lord Jesus Christ came and ministered, and that's where your book of Acts comes in, that was the transition from one dispensation to another dispensation, the Old Testament to the New Testament, from works to faith and grace. And it gradually came in, one overlapped the other, and it gradually came in through the book of Acts. And about the second or third century is, or about the second century, well, about 100 B, let's see, A.D., I don't know, 80 or 90 A.D., and I sound like I'm reading a calendar, but I have read this, and I do understand somewhat of it, but I just don't speak it too well. But anyway, we'll get through it. But about 80 or 90 A.D., after the Lord Jesus Christ had gone back and ascended, and I think there was the Apostle John was the last one to write the book. The books hadn't been brought together yet. You see, everybody had, some people had some of the books, and when the men, the apostles were writing the New Testament books, and the Apostle Paul had to come along, and he wrote 14 of them, see? And all these books were not together, and they had to all come together. And it was a process, is what I'm trying to say. In the book of Acts, it's kind of like a seesaw. It went from one and just gradually went over and transferred and into the New Testament. And that's what what we're talking about, the negative side of justification. The Apostle Paul talks about that, because he is explaining, when the Apostle Paul comes along, it leaves the letter, the law, God's law, and it goes into grace. And that's what the Apostle Paul is explaining, and he tells some things that are not going to work for your salvation and for your justification. Now, if you've been born again, you've been justified in the eyes of God. If you've been born again and you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are justified. You have been justified. And it's never going to be brought up again. Never going to be brought up again. The negative side of justification, let's go over a few things here and just find out what God's Word says. The first thing is that the law is negative for man's justification. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. If a man is trying to go by the law, and there are lots of people still trying to do that, trying to go by the law and do what the law says. Now, what are we talking about when we're talking about the law? We're talking about the Old Testament, most especially the first five books of the Bible. The law, the letter, what God said, the Ten Commandments, and the other ones that went along with it, quite a few of them. But they used to live by the law in the Old Testament, and they honored God's Word, and they went by that. And if they broke it, they brought in animal sacrifices and brought them to the priest and had them sacrificed to be forgiven for those sins. And for some sins, you would bring this, and for some sins, you would bring this, and then every year, the high priest would go in, and he would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would make a one-year sacrifice for the nation, corporately, and it would go on into the next year. Just a lot having to do with the law. The law now, right this second, is negative for man's justification. If a man is living in the 22nd, in the 21st century, and he tries to go by the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is good, it's holy, and it's God's law, and it's good, but it's changed. It's not valid for salvation anymore. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. And all salvation and anybody that wants to be saved has to go through the Lord Jesus Christ now. You can't go by the letter. You cannot go to heaven by keeping the law. Let's read some scripture. This is what the Apostle Paul says now. This is not the preachers that were preaching the law, and like the Apostle Peter, he was an apostle to the circumcision, which were the Jews, and he was preaching to them, and he done a little bit of the work that brought them away from, tried to see them Jews, they were about that law, like a rock. I mean, you couldn't convince them. But when Peter, when the Lord Jesus Christ, had Peter start preaching to the Jews, he started doing some of the work that the Apostle Paul completed, and that was transferring the Jews' minds and their hearts from the letter, from the law, and keeping the law over to what Jesus Christ did and his sacrifice, and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And there were several different steps that went through. Like I told you, in Acts, it transfers gradually from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And in between those two places, there were some transitions that took place that the Lord used the apostles for. Okay, and the Apostle Peter was one of them. And he preached to the Jews quite a bit about the law and that they couldn't be saved by the law anymore. And here, and then the Apostle Paul, when he came in later, he was specifically to the Gentiles, but he did try to get the Jews saved, and finally they got it to the point to where they even took him out and stoned him to death. And the Lord brought him back to life, and he got up and walked in the city and scared everybody out of their wits. The Apostle Paul brought it in and solidified it. I mean, it was set in stone then. This is the way you get saved. And that's what the Bible says today. Today. But in today, today's time, the law is negative for man's justification. If a man's trying to get saved by the law, by God's law, he's going to die and go to hell. You say, well, that's God's law. God would honor his law. No, God won't honor that anymore. God, the problem was, is that you couldn't be saved by the law, because the only thing that the law did was show you what you cannot do to get to heaven. You see, the law didn't save anybody. The law showed you that you were guilty. And that's all the law did, was show you that you were guilty and that God was right and that you were evil and that you were a sinner and that without the proper sacrifice, you couldn't get to heaven. You could be forgiven, but your sins couldn't be taken away. And until your sins were completely and utterly taken away, you couldn't go to heaven. That's why everybody that minded the Lord and died in righteousness in the Old Testament, for instance, Abraham, and Isaac and Jacob and the others, they went to a place called Abraham's bosom, paradise. They went to a place there, and it was close to hell. The only thing that separated it and hell was a gulf, according to Luke chapter 16. But they went there. Now, why'd they go there? Because the sin problem wasn't completely taken care of yet. Somebody had to make a sacrifice that would completely take away sins. Take them away. And the Lord Jesus, and the only way somebody could get that valid, that sins could be taken away that way, was that they had to be innocent they had to not be a sinner and not violated God's law in any way. And they had to be pure and holy, and it had to be a pure sacrifice to the Lord. The Lord said the blood of flesh, the blood of goats and bulls wasn't good enough. It could cover sins, because they would sacrifice an animal's life for a sin for the person, you see, but it couldn't take the sin away. So they had to go to paradise, not purgatory, paradise, Abraham's bosom. Okay, but after the Lord Jesus Christ died and he resurrected, it was finished. And that's what the Lord said on the cross. It is finished. And it was once and for all, that meaning everybody, all men. Jesus died for all men, even the ones in hell. So that's the change, briefly, that took place. Okay, so that shows us that the Lord made a decision to leave away from the law, even though the law is holy and the law is good. The law was only brought in. He gave Moses the law to show everybody from that point on what they could not do. He brought the law in to make everybody guilty so that when Jesus Christ come, they could be forgiven. Because
you have to be guilty before you can become innocent.
You have to be established as guilty. And that's what the law does. It establishes you as guilty before God. You see? And now you're a sinner, and now you are eligible for salvation by grace through faith. Because Jesus Christ died for that, and he paid it with his blood. You see? So the law is negative for man's justification. Anybody that's trying to use the letter, use the law, that's what the Lord called it, the letter, and that's what Paul called it, is not going to get to heaven. Not going to get to heaven. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not commit adultery. If you went your entire life and didn't lie, and that's what Paul says, but you commit adultery, you still broken the law in one place. And if you broken it in one place, you broke it in one place. That's what Jude says, or Jude or James, I think. But it says if you've broken it in one place, you're guilty of all of it. You say, well, only thing I've done was lied, but I never committed adultery, so I can't be accused of adultery. But it's not adultery that's going to send you to hell. It's the lying that you're guilty of. The law brought you, the law, when you lied, you went under the law as guilty, whether you committed adultery or not. You see? And that's what the Apostle Paul brings in and starts explaining when this transfer took over and this transition from the law to grace. Let's read some scripture. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, and this is the Apostle Paul's book, and he's writing and he's talking about, let's read it. It says, therefore, by the deeds, what is a deed? A deed is something that you perform. It's something that you do. It's something that you carry out physically. Therefore, by the deeds, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So, if the Bible's true, which it is, and God meant what he said, which he does, and he still does, then the Lord says, if you have flesh, you cannot be justified by that law. Even though God's law is holy, and it is good, and it is righteous, and it's from God, all it does is condemn you. It condemns you. So you have to be saved another way. Something has to pay for your sins because the law can't pay for them. All the law does is condemn you.
You see? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And then he explains it. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. It tells you and makes you knowledgeable. It gives you knowledge that you're a sinner. I mean, when you look at God's law and you're sitting there and you read it and it says, thou shalt not lie, the first thing you think to yourself is, well, have I lied? Yep, I've lied. Uh-oh. Well, thou shalt not steal. Have you ever stole? Yeah, I did steal. Uh-oh. You see, it gives you knowledge that you're a sinner. And that's what God's law does. It wasn't a matter of, when the Jews got the law from Moses, it was that way. They could bring sacrifices and they could cover their sins, you know, and Lord let that happen, but that was not what the Lord was going to keep going. It was not a permanent fixation. It was not something that was going to be fixed that way. It was just something to bring man under God's law and make him guilty. And show him that he's guilty. So that when the Lord Jesus Christ come, then salvation by faith through grace would take place. All right. He said, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law, and that's what we're talking about, the law is negative for man's justification. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. The law doesn't even assist faith to get you saved. You don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and not steal in order to get to heaven. It's just faith and believing what God has said about Jesus Christ and the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, believing on that by faith, that gets you to heaven and gets you eternal life. It's not that, as far as not stealing and not committing adultery and not doing this and not doing that and not doing this, anything that has to do with the deeds of the law is not assisting your salvation, not one bit. You're wasting your time if you're trying to get to heaven by being good. Because the Lord said, no flesh shall be justified in his sight by the deeds of the law. You see, the law is negative for man's justification. It's negative, the negative side of justification. People, there's a lot of people, you say, well, okay, then there must be a lot of people that are not listening to God. No, there's a lot of people that think that if they obey, that if they keep most of the law, and when they get to heaven, God's going to say, okay, well, you kept commandments 1 through 6 and 10, so you got a 6 and you got a 7 and a 5 going on here on the scale, so your good outweighs your bad, so you can come on in. That's not the way it's going to happen. You better be saved before you get to heaven, before you get to the judgment, before you get to the scales. You see, the Lord has taken the scales and put them away. There is no scales as far as good and bad and stuff like that. The law, all it does is slam one side of the scale down on the thing, and, you know, slam one side of the scale down and completely and utterly show that you're guilty. If you go by the law, whatever you put on your side of the scale to try to weigh that law is going to lose. It's going to be slammed down. The law is going to bring you down all the way down guilty without any kind of confusion or question at all. It's going to send you to hell. So you see, the law was there. It's negative. The law is negative as far as man's justification. If man tries to be justified by the law, it ain't going to work. Because that was not why the law was brought in, was to get a man to heaven.
because a man could not go to heaven. A man was a sinner. Every man that's been born since Adam has been from Adam's seed, and Adam's seed is corrupt. It's corrupt. It's cursed. And you're from that. You see? Here's another scripture that Paul wrote, the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6 through 9. The Bible says, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament." Remember we talked about that? "Not of the letter." You see, the letter's called the law also. He said, "Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth." If you go by the letter and you go by the law for your salvation and to impress the Lord, it's going to kill you. It's going to kill you. "For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, the law, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed glory. He says, even though the law was good, and the Lord gave the law, and the law, I mean, Moses came down and had to put a thing over his head, had to put something over his head because of all the glory that was, and it was written in stone, and all the things that went on with that, and the ministration of the letter, the giving out of the letter of the law, he said, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed glory. This new thing that the Lord has come out with, the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ, by his sacrifice of purity, no sin involved in it, the Lord completely sacrificed holy blood, God's blood, and his life without sin, and it was completely acceptable unto the Lord. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So you see, the law is negative for man's justification. You can't go by the law. You can't convince God that you should be able to go to heaven because you have kept his law, because you have not kept his law. And if you think that you have, then you're deceiving yourself. You know, even though God's law is holy and righteous, it cannot do and provide what was needed in order to justify you and to justify man. In God's legal realm, the only thing that his law could do is kill, we just read that, and condemn man, because his law is holy, just, and righteous. And if you break it, you're breaking holiness, the thing that would justify you in righteousness, you've broken God's law, a holy God's law. So you see, man is evil. You say, what? Yeah, man is evil. The Lord Jesus Christ said that. Didn't you know that? Luke chapter 11, verse 3. Listen to this. This is the Lord talking. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Jesus called you evil. He called me evil. He called anybody that has flesh evil. If you, being evil, he didn't say you did evil or you performed evil, or you done evil things. He said, if ye, talking about you, then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You see, the Lord said we're evil, and he's right, because we are. It's not what you have done, it's what you are.
That's why the law couldn't help us. You see? Justified before God. The law says, thou shalt not. And guess what? Man does. The Lord said, don't do it. Man does it. The Lord said, thou shalt not. And man does. Therefore, guilty. Guilty. One negative side of justification is that it cannot work with the law. If you want to be justified before the one and true God, the creator of all things, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be justified in his sight, it cannot contain the deeds of the law for you to have a valid justification. Justification, one negative side of justification is that it cannot work with the law unless, of course, a man has never, ever transgressed God's law. Have you? Okay, then. That means you and I and everybody else that admits, well, whether even if they don't admit it, it's still true, cannot be justified by the law, by the deeds of the law. The law is negative for man's justification. The second thing that's negative, remember what we're talking about, the negative side of justification. And justification is what we're studying. The second thing that's negative is man's righteousness is negative for his justification. Man's righteousness. Now, we hear and see in the Scripture where the Lord talks quite a bit about the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness and the righteousness of God the Father and the righteousness of God the Holy Ghost and the righteousness of the Godhead. Man's righteousness that man produces is negative. The Lord said that man weighed in the balances is altogether vanity. The very best that man can do, the Lord said, is altogether vanity. It's a waste of time. Now, that's saying something, ain't it? You mean, brother, that even when I do the very best and most good thing that I could possibly do, that it's vanity? Yes, as far as being justified in the sight of God, as far as being justified as righteous, yes, it's vanity. Because we are cursed, we are evil, and something or somebody has got to change that so that we can be justified. Because we start out being evil, how are we going to do anything good enough being evil to impress the Lord? We can't. You see? Man's righteousness is negative for his justification. If you're trying to get to heaven and impress the Lord with your righteousness, the Lord says it's as filthy rags. Now, he ain't trying to be smart and ugly with you. He's just telling you the truth. They're as filthy rags. So what do we do? Well, the Apostle Paul has something to say about that. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1 through 5. Listen to this. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law,
that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Now, what's Paul saying there? He's saying, I want Israel to be saved. He said, but they're not getting it. He said, they think, they're not, they have a zeal for God. They want to do things for God, and they want to impress the Lord, but they're not doing it according to the knowledge that God has given us in order to be saved. He says, because instead of accepting God's righteousness to get them saved, they're going about to establish their own righteousness before God and try to impress God with their own righteousness, and it ain't going to work. Because the reason is, Christ Jesus is the end of the law. You take all of God's law and sum it up, and when you get to the end of God's law, there's Jesus Christ and his righteousness. The Bible says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. If you want God's righteousness and you want the righteousness that's going to get you to heaven and get you saved and get you justified before God, it has to be that you go all the way through the law and get to the end of the law and find Jesus Christ there and his righteousness. And it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You see the change there? He says, nothing wrong with the law. The law is beautiful. The law is holy. The law is righteous. But it can't do nothing but make you guilty. So when you go through the entire law and get to the end of it, there's Christ Jesus and his righteousness because of what he did. He died for you. And and the gospel, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, it says that the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel of the grace of God. And that's how we get saved. That's the bottom line. That's it, brother. That's how people get to heaven. Okay? And it says, for Moses describeth the righteousness of the law. He says, if you want to get to heaven by the righteousness of the law, the problem is, here's how you do it. He says, that the man which doeth those things, you see, you have to do the law. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Okay? He says, Moses described that. He said, if you want to get to heaven by righteousness, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. In other words, there's never been a time in your life that you've broken God's law. You live completely and perfectly by God's law in front of him, and when you get ready to die, you can take your whole life and hold it up to God, and there won't be one violation of the law. That's what Moses said. He said, if you're going to do it by the law, man, you got to live by it. And nobody can do that. I can't. Can you? Man, I'm lucky to get by 15 minutes without trying to fight something going through my mind, or thinking something, or seeing a billboard and imagining something, or blah-bitty-blah-bitty-blab. We are evil. We're sinners. It's not what we've done. It's what we are. You see? But the Lord Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He can justify us if you accept his righteousness, you see. So man's righteousness is negative for his justification. You cannot go through God's courtroom and present evidence for your righteousness. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Here's another one. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, God the Holy Ghost comes and indwells your body, and he quickens and makes alive your spirit toward God again. And you are alive unto the things of God again. the spiritual part of you, the spirit in you. You were born dead, your spirit. And when you received Jesus Christ and his righteousness, it quickened your spirit. It made your spirit alive unto God again, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then in Revelation 21:8, the Bible says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, there's a lot of things right there that have to do with the law. And remember, Moses said you have to keep the whole law. You got to live it. If you're going to go by it and you're going to bring it to court, you got to live it. Have you ever been an idolater? Have you ever lied? Have you ever played around with drugs and sorcery? Are you a whoremonger? Have you ever murdered anybody? Are you abominable? Have you ever been an unbeliever? How about a fearful person? Somebody tries to scare people all the time. The Bible says, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You can't do it. Nobody can. Nobody that has flesh. The only way you can do it by the law is not by your righteousness, not by man's righteousness, because Moses said you can't make it unless you keep it. But man's righteousness is negative for his salvation. Not only that, but the law is negative for man's justification, for justification. You know, a man cannot justify him by his own righteousness before God. He is dead in trespasses and sins. We just read that. And if he tries to tell God he's good enough, he and the Lord both know he's lying. And guess what? Liars are not good enough. We just read that also. You see? God's not trying to trick us or back us in a corner and say, aha, you failed, you go to hell. That's not at all what the Lord's trying to do. He's trying to get us to realize that what we are, and to admit it, and to accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior, and his righteousness, and believe by faith on him, and say, Lord, I believe that Jesus died, was buried and resurrected, and I would like to be saved by Jesus according to the Word of God and the Scriptures, and I believe on his sacrifice, and I want his righteousness on my account, Lord, instead of mine. And by believing by faith, the Lord says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. And anybody out there that tries to tell you got to ride a jackass around the church five times and ride him backwards and stuff like that, and you got to do this and 45 Hail Marys and this and that and the other, it tells you things of the deeds of the law. According to Paul, they're lying to you. Because Moses said that if you're going to go by the law, you better keep that law. And you better not mess up one time. We're talking about the negative side of justification. First of all, the law is negative for man's justification. Secondly, man's righteousness is negative for his justification. And thirdly, human works are negative for man's justification. And again, the Apostle Paul. Boy, I'm glad the Lord brought the Apostle Paul along. He was the perfect man to make that big change and to bring in Christ's righteousness and to finalize it and to finish that thing. And it's been going on for 2,000 plus years now. And people have been getting saved by that same thing, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. But to be justified, human works ain't going to work. There's people that once a year they'll go down and they'll let people put fish hooks
in their back, in their flesh, and big, great big fish hooks. And I mean, I'm talking about 10, 15 of them. And then tie big ropes or strings to them, and then tie rocks to them, and they'll drag that stuff around bleeding. And some people will climb these big rock formations and stuff like that. And some people will sacrifice their children, you know, all kinds of things, human works that they imagine that'll justify them and hope that it will. But it won't. It won't. Romans chapter 4, listen to this. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. He says, okay, he's done good works, and he has something that he can talk good about. He said, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You see, before the law came in, man was saved by works and doing what God said. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, we ain't got time to get into all that, because that's a study in itself, is going from salvation to salvation and the different kinds of salvation that God used in different dispensations. But nevertheless, the idea is that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it's what God says that's going to get a person to heaven. And in our dispensation, it's the gospel of the grace of God, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's by faith through grace. God lets you off the hook for believing what he has said about his Son, Jesus Christ, by faith. By faith, and by what his word said. But it said Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. In other words, God put righteousness on Abraham's account and established him as righteous because he believed God and done what God said. Now, that was back before the law came in. Okay, and then when the law came in, it was faith, believing what God said, and works, because you had to bring a sacrifice. Now there's no more works. The law is passed, and faith is in by the grace of God. By faith alone, you believe what God said. This is the easiest dispensation to go to heaven, to believe on Jesus Christ, to go to heaven. You don't have to do nothing except call upon God's name and believe on Jesus Christ. That's all you have to do. That's what the Bible says. And if God is good at keeping his word, which he is, and he's not a liar, which he is not, then he's going to do what he said he'd done. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you see any works in that? No works at all. It's just believing God by faith in his word and what he has said, and call upon him and believe on his Son. And he said he would save you. Shall be saved. Shall be saved. Shall be saved. Whosoever. That includes you and every man. But it says in Romans 4 concerning human works being negative for man's justification, Abraham believed God, and it was counted for him, it counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace. In other words, if you work for it, whoever you worked for, they owe you that. They don't give it to you freely and by grace. They owe it to you. It's a debt. And that's what Paul's saying. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. They owe it to you. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, which we are, his faith is counted for righteousness. Isn't that easy? That's so easy. Only the Lord could have come up with that. So it's through Jesus Christ, you see? And there are negative things having to do with justification. You better not count on the law. You better not count on man's righteousness, your righteousness. You better not count on human works. And there's one more. Faith mixed with works are negative for man's justification in the dispensation of grace. In other words, like what we said a while ago, we answered it a while ago. In other words, you cannot believe on Jesus Christ, or say you believe on Jesus Christ, and in your heart be counting on the Lord being impressed with something that you do mixed in with it in order to justify you. Because the Lord said there's nothing about you that he's going to justify you to get you to heaven, to make you righteous before him. Nothing at all about you. Now, that's depressing, isn't it? Because people do good things, but they're not good enough before the Lord. And that's what matters. I mean, we satisfy one another and help one another, and we accept good things from other people, and we trust them and put confidence in them and stuff like that. But when it comes to a holy God allowing you into heaven and allowing you, putting righteousness on, establishing you as righteous and getting you to heaven and justifying you, and you thinking in your heart that there's something about you that impresses God and makes him have to owe you salvation, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Faith mixed with works. You do what God says, or you imagine you're doing what God says, and you're mixing it with works in your heart that there's part of you that's going to get you to heaven and impress God. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to get you justified. It's by faith alone. Alone. Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm sticking my neck out. I believe what your word says. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I believe in the death and burial and resurrection that you raised your son up and that he shed his blood for me. And I'm trusting in that and that alone. And I'm asking you the best I know how to save me on that condition right there. Nothing about me, but Jesus alone. And bam, the Lord saves you and puts Jesus' righteousness on you. But if you're going to mix something about you into it, that's a negative thing, because you're not going to be justified in this dispensation. In this time that we live, it's not going to get you to heaven. It's Jesus alone. Galatians, let me read you just one or two more scriptures and we'll stop for today. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 15 and 16. And you notice all these, with exception of one or two, they've all been the Apostle Paul. And he's the one that brought in the gospel of the grace of God. That's the title, if you will, of this dispensation, this time that we live in. It's the title of the salvation. It's what it's called, the gospel of the grace of God, the good news of the grace of God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 15 and 16 says, We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So, if you want to be saved, you're going to have to ask the Lord to save you on strictly the basis of His Son and His sacrifice and His shed blood, and call upon His name and ask Him to save you by Jesus Christ, His Son alone, and what He did for you. If you're going to try to tell God to save me with Jesus, and you know, Lord, I do some pretty good things sometimes, you know, and God doesn't owe you nothing, and He ain't going to owe you nothing. When it comes to salvation and justifying you, if you're not going to take His Son, you're going to go to hell. That's what the Bible says. So, we've talked today about what? We've talked about the negative side of justification. Now, remember, justification is a very important part that takes place during your salvation. When you get saved, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him, the Lord legally justifies you and applies counts you as justified in His sight. But the law is negative if you're going to try to use it. Man's righteousness is negative. Human works are negative. And if you're trying to mix anything of your goody-goodies into the works, and with works having to do with your faith, it ain't going to work. Now, actually, according to the Scriptures and what they teach us about the dispensations and the different ways that God saves and has saved men, the age of grace in which we now live is the easiest way the Lord's ever and will ever provide salvation for anybody who has been or ever will be. Salvation in this dispensation is called the gospel of the grace of God by the Apostle Paul, the Pauline gospel, and is absolutely free for the asking. You don't have to do any kind of work in order to get it. It is indeed forever and eternal and will not ever be taken away from you whom He gives it to. All Scripture, all the Lord's promises, every person in this age is surely without excuse and a fool of fools for not getting saved. What a sad thing that's going to be, as easy as the Lord has made it to just believe on His Son by faith. And believe what God said, and He'll give you eternal life, and you never have to worry about dying and going to hell, and you have life for eternity. And that's what man is seeking all over this world right this very second as you and I are talking. Man is looking for a way to stay alive. And he's going here and there and there and there and there. And he can't find it. You know why? Because he is denying the Lord, and he's denying the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, and he don't want nothing to do with Him, and he ain't never going to find life. He's going to die and go to hell. Yeah, that's the way it is. That's what the Bible says. Part of my studies, I look up and listen to some of the fellows on death row, you know, that are waiting on execution. And there was one man I was listening to, because, you know, a man that's fixing to die usually say some important things.
And that's like the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he was on his way to the cross, carrying that cross. The women were walking behind him, the scripture says, and they were weeping and they were crying out loud. And the only time the Lord said anything while he was on his way to Calvary, fixing to be killed, and had already had his flesh stripped off of him, was bleeding like crazy and bruised and had the thorns on his skull and in excruciating pain, he heard them women screaming back there and crying. You know what he did? He turned around and spoke to them. And he said, "Women," he said, "don't cry for me." He said, "Cry for yourselves." That's what he told them. He said, "Don't feel sorry for me." And what a thing for a man that's going to death to say. He said that to those women. He said, don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves of what's fixing to happen. Because they rejected, the Jews rejected Christ and they murdered him. And now they were fixing to pay for it. And they have been paying for it all the way up until today. They said, "Let his blood be upon us." And what a terrible mistake. They said that before God. But a man on death row that was waiting execution, he said, when I was watching him, he said, "A freed man might not reoffend." He said, "and lead a normal life. A freed man might not offend and lead a normal life." But that's not repentance. You see, they can let you out of jail and you live a normal life and not reoffend, but that's not repentance. You can be as good as you want to be and discipline yourself and do this and that and the other and be goody, 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 yummy, yummy, and all this kind of stuff before, you know, and do all the good deeds and stuff like that, but that's not repentance. That's not heart. That's not your heart, and that's not spirit. That's not spiritual. Amen. Well, we'll stop right there. And let me give you these scriptures, okay? All right. So what did we talk about today? We've talked about the negative side of justification in our study of justification that has to do with your salvation. Very important in your salvation, something that has happened to you if you're saved. You've been justified by God. The law is negative for man's justification, man's righteousness is negative, human works are negative, and faith mixed with works is negative for justification in the sight of God. Here's the first scripture we read today, Romans chapter 3, verse 20 and 28. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 through 9. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Yeah, verse 1. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Romans chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. Luke chapter 17, verse 10. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Galatians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. And Acts, well, we didn't read that. Yes, we did. Acts chapter 15, verse 1 through 29. And that winds up our scripture for today. And we will pick up on our next recording, our next study together, and we'll talk about acceptable things the Lord says can justify man. We talked about all the negative things that can't justify man and give him justification before God. But this next one, we're going to talk about the things that can. That can. Okay? All right. Well, the Lord bless you and thank you for studying God's Word. And the Lord bless you for that. And I know He will. He honors those that honor Him. And the Lord has magnified His Word above His name. And He honors those that honor His Word from the heart. And that's how we worship God, is through the Spirit. Those that come unto God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we are seeking him by studying his word, aren't we? Yes, we are. Because we want to, not because we have to. The Lord bless you. I'll talk to you on the next one, okay? This is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.